as Lord Mirast,
Hang on. We don't even have a transporter. What's all this crap then?
Well, I'm really sorry, but I had some nightmares over Halloween, and my therapist suggested it would help if I could get everyone to act it out. Can I get it out of my system, as it will?
I can never work out if I'm Wilma or Amelia, but I know that neither of us like that dress. Ah, that's better.
You know that I use stage makeup for the stubble, and it's actually a 25-year-old scotch in this can, don't you?
That was strangely satisfying. You never know, I might need to give this new toy a test run.
Right, quick, distract him with something shiny.
Galaxy disturbed by slight.
Rich people just want some space for themselves.
Fleet carrier facility Fandango.
Pod Palaver preempts preventative precautions.
This evening's report is brought to you by the number 21 and the colour red.
Atrus 5060 coughs up the latest news on the Thargoids.
Tepid, trepid, trepidation.
Community invents. Community presents. We begin tonight with an investigation into the background behind the mysterious disappearance of the entire galaxy last Saturday. Yes, the nebulae, clusters, stellar phenomena, people on legs, people in ships, pirates, gankers, stars, planets, and lovely geysers that blow you into orbit were all gone. Vanished. Dark. Nothing. A void. Followers of the more extreme beliefs claimed that this was the end of days, a time when all impurities would be swept away and only those who had the right book of stories in their house would be spared. Others pointed to the cyclical nature of time and speculated that this was now the time of the Big Bang, the next Big Bang, despite that being the copyrighted name for a special treatment available at Qantas. Philosophers debated, between themselves obviously, no one else is going to talk to them, that in the absence of any matter in the galaxy, how could one measure the passage of time? And indeed, if the galaxy didn't exist, how come they were still arguing the toss? Panic began to set in as pilots in the eastern part of the invisible galaxy, who had to finish a mission before their mum sent them to bed, realised that failure was an option. Nighttime pilots who stayed up late, because after all, this was their life, now yawned and kept looking at their digital watches, still showed a grand total of 3 steps taken in the last 24 hours. And still others who have to discover 3 more types of flora before their second Weetabix, fretted about what had happened. Enter with a flourish Dynamo Brownblane the 23rd, who, with a figurative wave of his magic wand, a swish of his metaphorical cloak, and approximately 25 minutes after potential disaster had struck, made the galaxy reappear just as if it had never been missing. Sent galaxy-wide advertisements for his new show, It's Big But I'm Clever, but who has not been seen since his ship disintegrated in the glare of 100 plasma cannons from disgruntled truckers who'd missed their mission deadlines.
As you should be aware, today marks the 1200th anniversary of the day that the space station Orbital Beef was opened by the founder of Aquamine Origin, the billionaire. Back in the days when a billion was a lot of money, not just what Amelia Hawke earned before breakfast, Jeff Bezos. Famous for making people's dreams come true, for example, sending TJ Hooker into space, showing that it's okay to wear a stupid hat at any time of the day if you're looking for a subtle way to cover up male pattern baldness because you don't have enough, even for a Rabsy Nesbitt comb-over, and to train his employees to be able to store enough water to cross vast deserts by banning bathroom breaks. Mr. Pesos created his perfect pied loin de terre up there in orbit, where he was able to look down and see most of the bits of the planet that he owned. Now, a few years earlier, Elon Musk did the same to watch his half of the world by launching a car into space. It was a convertible and he kept the top down so that he could see more of his domain without the glass getting in the way. But of course, it was doomed to failure. Either he forgot to put the handbrake on, or being one of his self-driving cars, may have ploughed itself into the nearest comet. Either way, Mr. Musk spent a lot of money trying to recover it. Anyway, back to Jeff Bezos. Much was made of the space station's future role as a hub for research and for space tourism. But after seeing how many empty pizza boxes and cans of lager were left in his lovely white station, he decided to move his office there. And after designing the galaxy's biggest spaceship, about the size of 1.5 Type 9s, but it never flew since engines of the time were incapable of the necessary thrust, records show that the only things that were imported to the station subsequently were empty tissue boxes, chocolate, and empty milk bottles. Conversely, the only export was full milk bottles. Now, we're not saying that Mr. Pesos became paranoid, but if you find the correct orbit around Sol, you may run into the orbital beef. Quite literally, since it doesn't have a beacon to warn passing ships. Just a strange cloud of some brownish material orbiting the station.
The Pilots Federation has teased us with an artistically dubious picture of what may turn out to be the view from the bridge of a fleet carrier once the proposed remodelling has taken place. Apparently, there will be, of course, the usual concessions represented on the new concourse, allowing buying and selling of ships, weapons, etc. But there's a unit that's not yet been sold, and notices have been posted asking for bids to fill this space. We've seen some of the proposals, and quite frankly, some of them sound really exciting. Spearmint Spaniel, a club for the weary pilot, which is an offshoot of Wander's Enterprises, for example. McThargo's have, of course, put in a bid, but the local Keep Carriers Clean campaign has objected, citing the amount of rubbish that's found on the floor in hangars in a typical spaceport. Presumably the pirates lob all of that out of the cargo hatch the moment they land. Cecil has proposed a drive-through bottle shop, allowing him to pick up his daily supplies without getting out of his SRV. But we think he's going to have to wait for the new indoor buggy for that. Other suggestions include a passenger lounge, black market contacts or mission boards, but we've ignored them all, as they're far too sensible. More useful would be a registrar for births, marriages and death, which would definitely get the passing trade from wedding barges and funeral ships, plus presumably couples who found that they forgot to pack any reading material during their long flight to Hutton. Definitely a cradle-to-grave service. A salvage contract might be useful, but we imagine that you get strange looks dragging an occupied space pod up from the hangar. Top of the list, though, the most requested item is a second type of bar, one that actually serves beer.
We come to you tonight with a cautionary tale of hardship, motion sickness, financial exploitation, and quite a lot of swearing. When Wells-class megaships recently added social zones which would allow commanders to make the most of the time aboard, they also included additional safety features, including quick-setting anti-vandal foam, which immobilises anyone who tries to draw a cock and balls inside the lifts, and an old man with a stick who goes round every hour to poke sleepers and make sure they're not asleep, a canary in a cage inside the loos, and emergency escape pods. Now, the first three work like a dream and will continue to do so as long as the supply of canaries holds out. Escape pods, though, have some issues, which make them vulnerable to exploitations by scammers. Space scammers. Initial tests went well. Commander Econate's initial test flight from Dove Enigma in Colonia led to them being collected by a passing long-range courier and dropped off at Baker's Prospect in the bubble after a short time in the cargo hold. Other flights, while technically successful, have led to unintended consequences. One commander was released from her pod onto a megaship in Beagle Point and had to hitch a lift back. After being kept in the cargo bay of a Type 9 for a month as it transported bioways from Van Manen's star, Commander Yellow Holler said, "It was awful. I'll never look at Sweetcorn the same way again." The captain of the ship explained that he had forgotten that they had picked up the escape pod, but released Commander Yellow Holler as soon as he heard the screaming and the whimpering. Heartless scammers even took advantage of our very own Commander Vantian as he was conducting safety tests. He accidentally activated one of the pods, was dragged inside, and then ejected from the ship before he could say, "Ah, my beard!" Scurrilous ne'er-do-wells were waiting outside to scoop up the pod and took him out to the T-Tower system some 500 light-years from the bubble and his beloved crate, the Shitty Lady. He was only released from his escape pod when he paid an inflated fee to his captors and had to wait 2 hours until they arranged for his ship delivered by a budget ship delivery company. Commander Vantian then had to recover the Shady Lady from a crater 5 kilometres outside of town where they had dumped it and listed it as delivered. So be warned, emergency escape pods are exactly that. Emergency escape pods, which should only be used when there is absolutely no alternative. They are not for recreational jaunts around the galaxy.
And as luck would have it, we have an incoming report from Vantian, who is stunt performing as this week's outside correspondent. Outside meaning not at the orbital this week. Probably as a result of shenanigans after last week's "oops, I fell into a bat of Centauri Megagen and only escaped by drinking it all" incident. After hearing rumours that there was trouble brewing in the Peregrina system, Vantian was sent to investigate. Our only background information? That some aristocrats had accidentally retreated from all neighbouring systems after falling out with most of them, which left the permit, well, totally unobtainable. Wondering why they weren't getting any visitors or any of the great unwashed paying credits to come and look around their staterooms in the stations and marvel at their rococo ceilings, gold leaf covered faux fireplaces, and gaze in wonder at their alabaster busts. They don't get much sunshine, these aristocrats. They realized their error and immediately petitioned the Pilots Federation for a little help. With no way to actually get out and meet people to give them credit for helping, and therefore earn a permit under Pilots Federation rules, it was determined that the only course of action would be to give them their own megaship in a nearby system, so that anyone wanting a permit could pop in there, earn a little eternal gratitude of the aristocrats, and therein get the permit. Commander Vantian, on behalf of this radio station, made his way there in recent days to see what all the fuss was about. It turns out that the aristocrats had parked their megaship on someone else's lawn, and that faction was most put out. That a bunch of toffs had done this space the equivalent of driving over the petunias and leaving tire marks over the carefully manicured lawn. But why would anyone want to go to Peregrina? A long-range transmission from the Shady Lady, that's Vantian's ship, contains the system description.
Warning, plague system. The only life-bearing body has been cordoned off due to native pathogens. Any ship passing into the moon's atmosphere will be automatically designated a plague ship, refused docking in all systems, and destroyed on site by all faction and system security forces. System trade consists of rumoured alien artifacts found in deep space, along with moderate mineral deposits in these systems in an asteroid belt.
Along with a message that said,
"If you guys have sent me somewhere that's going to get my ship scrapped, I'm going to be most upset. Alvin will be hearing about this."
It was accompanied by a mission log that in summary said, Number 1.
Arrived at HIP 18609. Met some posh knobs for tiffin.
Number 2.
Posh knobs appear to have got into a bit of a fight with the locals. They've asked for help.
Number 3.
Some chap with a huge moustache who keeps saying "bah" has thrown me into a dropship.
Number 4.
He keeps telling me to go over the top and blowing a whistle.
Number 5.
attempting to stick underpants on head and two pencils up nose while saying a wibble.
Number 6.
Threatened with court-martial.
Number 7.
Unpacked guns. Used guns. Enemy ran away from me.
Number 8.
Earned medal.
Number 9.
Cut finger on pin for medal. Send bandages, got red on me.
Number 10.
Along with medal came permit for Peregrina.
Number 11.
Went to Peregrina. Found planet, landed on planet, found unregistered building.
Number 12.
Attacked by skimmers. Bash knee on SRV console. Send bandages, got red on me.
Number 13.
Skimmers down. Found beacon. Scan beacon. Received mysterious Imperial Intel package.
Number 14.
Now wanted. Being chased out of system. Trap finger in seat adjustment. Send bandages, got red on me.
Number 15.
Hiding on Taurus 2. Send help. Red leaking out a finger and not stopping. Plague prevention troops hunting me.
And finally, number 16.
P.S. No mysterious deep space artifacts. No aristocrats, as they're apparently in exile. No bandages.
Good evening, truckers! It is 5060 here, bringing you all the latest intel on the Thargoids. Now, normally I'd be all over the latest news like a rash. The only problem is that I have come down with one, and it's a nasty one. I was off to find all those nice people over at Operation IDA. Or is it IDA? And the Hackswing offer to offer my services, where I accidentally bumped into a caustic cloud from one of the Mighty's minions. Well, one thing led to another, as it does, and it appears that Mrs. 5060 and I have both come down with a big case of the Lurgy, which isn't very nice. So, we'll just leave it up to Hexwing and the lovely Mr. Falco to tell you all about it.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Keeping it short and sweet this week, Haxwing. Tharg is showing his stubborn side. We've barely made a dent in his presence in the Pleiades, but we will keep fighting and hold the line. A new system in the Pleiades was also attacked, HR 1183, and Ark's faith there is burning. We need every AX combat capable ship out here pushing back. Remember the last time you let the Goids into the bubble? Hundreds of stations burned, and they were within a jump of Hutton space. For our station evac pilots, Copernicus Observatory, Hanna Enterprise, and IS Udok have been fully evacuated, but Ark's Faith, Ezra Point, Cheryl Orbital, Khan Relay, Carrion Vision, and Sal Prospect all still require search and rescue operations. Pick up evacuees in the burning stations and take them to the rescue ships. Also, the rescue ships need emergency supplies, especially AG suits, water, and basic medicines. We have to hold strong and fight back, commanders. We cannot allow Tharg to gain footholds in the bubble again. Keep your eyes on the signal sources, and always be ready to defend.
Error. End of transmission code not received.
Encrypted transmission complete.
Thank you, Hatswing! There's such lovely people over there. There are bound to be stations on fire at the end of this. And it wouldn't be the same without me raiding up endless lists of systems and stations that need your help, truckers. But for the moment, keep those Thargoids down, truckers. And don't forget, it's all for the man of Lemsip.
There's a little bit more than usual going on in Hutton space this week, so let's get right into it. Only one system is in the BGS basement this week, that old stagnant stalwart of stubbornness Barnard Star has slipped a further point to 33 to once more hold up the rest of the table. Two of the factions are in an election, locking up 30%, and a further one is bust, so there's not a lot of influence in play to improve matters. Not quite in the basement, Trepin has declined to 41 from over 60 a month ago, and this has allowed a player faction, the Collection of Independent Agents, or CIA, to get within 2% and challenge Hutton for control of the system. The Hanky Clone Army could use a little help over there putting things back to normal. Wolf 25 is suffering an outbreak that started during the week, so shipping meds to the mail. I've just heard it's ended this afternoon. Anyway, it's bonkers and it has large pads. At the top end of the systems league, we only have 9 systems. Only 9 above 60% with 2 over 70. 9? That's more than a third of them, folks. Let's get them under control so that we can target our next expansion and not rely on having to retreat from some dump that we don't want. Pirates have pushed past the old moth-eaten furs in the wardrobe and have infiltrated into Narnia. However, since Narensis is already on 65% and could use a little cooling, there's no immediate need to rush in there straight away and lay waste to them. Unless, of course, you want to. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Trepin whilst there are no ongoing conflicts, and keep an eye on Barnard's stuff for when the election ends. If you want to shoot something, sort out the pirates in Narensis.
It's non-stop action in the galaxy as community members organise events for us all. Here we bring you updates on just the events that we've been told about. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. The Fleet Carrier Khonsu is around two-thirds of the way along the 124 waypoints of the Canon Challenge, all of them hoping to get retrofitted interiors to the carrier soon so that they can stretch their legs between jumps. Commander Mephisto has taken time from changing the little pine air freshener in his cabin to send us this update.
The comfy cannon cruise stayed at waypoint 86 a bit longer than initially planned, nearly 4 days. Passengers used the time to explore around, and the captain made the 8,400 light-year trip to Colonia to stock a Guardian fighter, take a drink at the bar in Jack Station, and enjoy exploring on his own for a change. But then Khonsu got on her way to the outermost southwestern reaches of the Milky Way. The direction given last week was wrong again. Those damned holomaps tend to flip around on their own. Thanks to Commander Belgar for noting. Gladly, imposed directions on space are meaningless. So, happily, these mistakes never resulted in misnavigation. After 3 days of jumping over 27,000 light-years, the crews arrived at waypoint 87. Here, the K07 type anomalies waited to be admired. Clouds in which circular waves build hypnotizing interference patterns. Tomorrow, Khonsu will go further along the outer galaxy rim before jumping back towards its center again.
The Wild Wild West expedition is definitely out there. Commander Airman Dan has mailed us the next chapter of the expedition's written history.
Wild Wild West waits for waypoint 11. The Wild Wild West expedition has set off on the second half of its journey, moving down the western edge of the galaxy towards V1357 Cygni. This week, members are making a mark on the universe by leaving a waymark on the galactic travel map in the shape of a W. This will appear in EDSM and Ed Astro as a testament to the expedition for future explorers and travellers passing this way. On Saturday, the expedition will be live in Twitch at airman_dan#3352's stream. At 1800, in-game travellers and viewers will be welcome to participate in the hunt for Waypoint 11, as Twitch plays Elite Dangerous. This exciting opportunity to find a waypoint in real time has never been done before, and all are welcome to drop by and participate in the search. Next week, the expedition will begin to climb above the plain into new and totally uncharted territory. First discoveries abound, so stay tuned for new and exciting developments from the frontier.
Expedition All the Clouds in the Sky is currently managing with a mostly absent leader. Commander Deluvian tells us what has befallen him and why his crew have taken to whistling hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go every morning. I have been completely dormant. My God, what a terrible feeling. The crew is out there struggling for tritium and trying to develop new ways how to be more efficient. And at the same time, I'm practically unable to join them, feeling like I'm in a cryogenic sleep. Well, I've looked with one eye half closed, though, on what's going on our Discord server. The first and most important is Commander Kalidas Akoma, with the great help of Commander Dracomenda, who developed a very smart plugin for ED Market Connector. Its purpose is to register during your mining session all the rocks you prospected, how many had tritium, the return ratio found versus total, and how many tons you mined versus average tons per hour. A small thing, but helps to prove or disprove all the theories related to tritium yield, also giving you a nice real-time overview of your progress, if nothing else. Of course, that triggered the discussion about low-temperature diamond hotspots versus tritium hotspots, etc. I have to say, I agree with Commander Hazard's 6S. There is no magic to LTD. From my point of view, we stopped where we did because the LTD hotspot was overlapping that for the tritium. In this sense, I used it as an alternative because finding overlapping tritium hotspots out here proved to be very difficult, if not impossible. Well, it was supposed to be an exploration update, and this is more of a mining rant. Guess what? If you want to explore the galaxy using a fleet carrier with a small crew, or even worse, just by yourself, you'd better get your pickaxe ready and sharp. If you've been paying attention over the last few weeks, you'll be aware that the 26th have planned a scavenger hunt. They're calling it the Bandit Run. It starts tomorrow, Friday, 0:30 UTC, and there are two classes of entrants. Runners who must collect 6 items, several of which Amelia Hawk should really try to warn you against. 1. Lavian Brandy. 2. Bass Snake Gin. 3. CD75 Kitten Brand Coffee. 4. Sharebone's Blood Crystals. 5. Duringa's Truffles. 6. Nagandarandari Fire Opals. Then deliver them to Hutton Orbital. The other class is Pirate, who should attempt to steal as many items as possible from runners. There is glory and prizes galore. Commander DB Exterminator has taken time out from lining up the starting tape to make a last minute call for all 4 participants.
Greetings, Commanders! There is still time to register for the Bandit Run! If you have joined the Discord and have not yet selected whether you'll be a pirate or a runner, you must do so to be eligible for the prizes. Speaking of which, I have 2 bonus prizes. Both are 20 million credits each. The first one is for the pirate who steals my cargo. I'm looking forward to the challenge, so I'll even give my ship's name, the Warhead. And the second bonus prize is for the runner who clocks the fastest time to Hutton Orbital from the main star in Alpha Centauri. More details on the Discord page. Good luck, Commanders.
And don't forget to run the Hutton Helper whilst you do it, participants. Who knows, if you beat the current record of 1 hour, 22 minutes and 20 seconds, you could be in the running for your very own genuine Hutton mug. There are still a few weeks to sign up for the Magellan Experience. All truckers are invited by the Independent Explorers Association to their most ambitious trip to date, covering not only winter but the first part of next year, November 28, 3307 to February 13, 3308. From Betis Sculptoris to W. Ursae Majoris, heading south towards the Seagull Nebula to link up with the Perseus arm of the galaxy. From there, heading east down the arm all the way to the very tip to visit Magellan's star. Commander Richard Fluend M and the team are packing supplies and have sent this update.
The expedition has increased in popularity, increasing in numbers to 87, 1 month before launch. Scouting plans are still underway in preparation of the experience, with a new trailer on the way.
Remember, if you want your event to feature, please email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and you too could be basking in fame and fortune, or at least get a mention.
And that was the news. Stay tuned for a brand new Galnet News special report, Flossie's roundup of the CG News, Hutton Helper results, and naturally Amelia Hawke will be here to present this week's edition of the Galnet Rares Digest, or as I like to think of it, the triumph of hope over experience. But first, some chat.